Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Our favorite show other than The Bachelor and Bachelorette, Blank's Creek. I'm a little bit single, even when I'm not. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr., that is my motto. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, before I get to it, first I'll say that this hour we'll check in, I guess, on Houston's exes, which is really hard for me to say, considering we're dealing with situations where Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt could be looking at new teams. And it's a birthday, a big birthday, Michael Jordan's birthday. So this hour we will give you Michael Jordan's top four rivals. You heard me correct. We got so many goats because now we can say the word goat after talking about Serena and Naomi. So we've got Michael Jordan's top four rivals in about, what, like 30 minutes or so? But Junior, I want to start here. Clearly, I spilled some tea. We had so much fun with Kimberly A. Martin joining our show, as you heard her voice in the SportsCenter update. Are you going to spill any of your Valentine's Day tea before we get started?
No, because the best part about it is there is no tea to spill. I did laundry on Sunday. I watched a little more Halt and Catch Fire on Sunday. I kept it clean, Janae, because there is no need for me in what has been one of the messiest years on record to add to that fire right now. Plus, it's a pandemic. I don't know how you're supposed to meet women right now anyway.
It's easy. Use an app. It works. Okay, but I digress because that's my other specialty. But it's crazy because everything really comes back to when we're talking about the sports world and the dialogue. It all comes back to my home state, my hometown of Houston. Texans these days are really putting me through it. And on NFL Live yesterday, ESPN NFL Nation, a team reporter, David Newton, joined the crew. And he said what the Carolina Panthers should be giving up, willing to give up, for one Deshaun Watson.
Panthers will do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson, and that includes giving up three first-round draft picks and Christian McCaffrey. Now, owner David Tepper wants to win a Super Bowl. He's made that clear. He understands it takes a marquee quarterback to do that. Now, if you look at recent history outside of Patrick Mahomes, the quickest way to do that is to trade for a marquee quarterback and not draft one in the first round.
So that's where this gets interesting, is that understanding of what he just said. We know, like, any team that can add Deshaun Watson should be trying to add Deshaun Watson, because for all the things that you've got to fix about a team, it becomes a lot easier when you've got a bona fide. And Deshaun Watson seems like one of the few that we can say a bona fide great player who's been already having to deal with going out and pulling his share of the weight and then some on a team that was bad, on a team that was 4-12 last year. So Janae, I don't see that price tag as too much, but I'm curious, and listen, you're someone that's moved teams, you're someone that's gone from the Connecticut Sun to the Los Angeles Sparks, and you had, you know, a relationship on that side. You had your sister in Los Angeles already. But if you're looking out at free agency right now, or whatever this version of it is for Deshaun Watson, is Carolina a place that you necessarily want to be if you're him?
So I feel like if it all comes down to your priorities, when it came for me in my situation where I was trying to sort of flex my muscles and move my way out, my priority was having a little bit more of a work-life balance. But then more importantly, that life side was I was missing my family. When I graduated from high school and then went to Stanford, I hung out with my sister for 2 years. Then she goes on to the professional ranks. And I probably saw NECA, my big sis, probably 2-3 weeks. Over like 5 or 6 years, as she, you know, women's hoopers play 24/7. And so it was a big priority for me to sort of get back to that balance aspect of being around my family while I'm working 24/7. So LA was the place where I could do it all. And it happened. And it also was nice that it's like bright and sunny and it's pretty and I could walk to work instead of
drive. And those things matter. Those things are important.
Yeah, but Carolina is not a bad option too, especially for a guy that, you know, went to Clemson. And so like that's not too far from a far removed. And then you just have to sort of look at who are you going to be working with. And I had a great conversation, you know, with Derek Fisher, who was just announced as our head coach. And I had a relationship with the ownership, Magic Johnson, which is super cool, as my sister won a championship with the LA Sparks. And I feel like the ownership situation is something that's interesting, Junior, when, you know, we talk about Carolina, because David Tepper, the owner, I was looking at the numbers. He's aggressive. He's super aggressive. He's the richest NFL owner by a comfortable margin, $13 billion. Jerry Jones is second at $8.6 billion. And he's also used to winning because before he was, I believe, a minority owner in Pittsburgh. And so when you look at that situation, you put two and two together, this guy is sort of like the Steve Ballmer in situations we've seen with the NBA where he's not afraid of risking a lot to compete. And I feel like if people see Deshaun Watson as that natural way, that generation, the way we look at the quarterback situation in the draft this year with Trevor Lawrence, like, wow, this is once in a lifetime stab you have. in off season, you know, with this situation, like maybe this is the one time that they don't have to hope that someone comes through the draft. They can get their quarterback. Now, Junior, with that situation, it's funny because I still feel like we always laughed, and I don't want to say laugh, but like when we heard the and Christian McCaffrey, we're like, okay, hold up. Three first and Christian McCaffrey? Is that not too steep of a price for even the richest owner? But maybe it's not.
I don't think so. And this was kind of the weird thing that we saw happen last year because Christian McCaffrey dealt with injuries a lot last season after that payday, and we saw him off the field, and we saw it not really have a huge effect. As we know, most players outside of quarterback don't have when it comes to wins and losses there. That offense still, yards per game-wise, was one of the better ones we saw in the league. It helps when you're down a lot, game flow. I get all those things. The struggles are really on defense. That's the worry going forward, and I think in that offense, if you can give up Christian McCaffrey, instead of having to give up one of your young defensive pieces, Brian Burns, Derek Brown, the guys that you're trying to build up that other side that was dreadful last season and young, that's something that Carolina should probably look into. I'm not as out on paying running backs as everyone else because I think the context of your situation matters. Carolina was going out and signed Teddy Bridgewater to a cheap bridge deal to try and figure out if he could be the future, and they paid Christian McCaffrey because he was a bona fide and they needed something to hang their hat on. If you're Houston, you already showed you love paying for running backs that are way less talented than Christian McCaffrey. And when you unload Deshaun Watson, you were committing to a full-on strip-it-down-to-the-stud-style rebuild. And so at least having some nice curb appeal and someone like Christian McCaffrey might be the one thing that you can sell as your franchise to fans or whoever else you need to in the immediacy after.
Expose us. Just flamethrow us in Texas. Okay, Junior. Now, you sort of highlighted early in the show that, all right, this is one offer. And again, we were saying we're celebrating Dan Orlovsky because he said everybody should be shooting their shot at Deshaun Watson potentially if you're a team that's not necessarily the highest caliber of contender in the NFL. So we've got Carolina shooting their shot. What are the other best shots, Junior? Because I think we've identified Miami and a lot of people say the Jets as well.
Yeah, and if you're just looking at those three, it is Miami very clearly number one, the Jets very clearly number three, and Carolina at number two. Now, I could say throw Denver in there as far as a place Deshaun, we've heard reportedly Jeremy Fowler mentioned reports of the teams Deshaun's interested in and Denver being one of them because that's an offense that's much closer to being good. That's a team that's much closer to being good, albeit in a tougher position. But I don't know if they can offer what teams like the Jets and Miami, first and foremost, can in terms of a package. But even what we're hearing with Carolina here. So it's very clearly in my mind, Miami 1, Carolina 2, and the Jets 3. But, Chenae, you wonder if, all right, Miami decides we're not willing to give up Tua and one of the premier defensive players that we've heard rumors you might have to be able to give up in this spot. And all of a sudden, it's between the Jets and Carolina. That's a no contest in this one. But
yep.
I really see it, Chenae, coming down to if nothing else were to materialize, it seems like Deshaun Watson hates the Texans enough and wants out of there enough to where if the Panthers are the only one that show up to the birthday party, that's who he's going to hang out with here. And he'll go try his hand, like you said, with an organization with new ownership there. Because remember, David Tepper stepped in after all that impropriety with Jerry Richardson in that organization, comes from a franchise that people tend to trust morally. And so maybe that aligns. Maybe seeing Matt Rhule there and what that coaching staff seems to be building towards aligns. And he would be a little more willing to step in and say, all right, I'll be a part of what I think is going to be a quicker rebuild in this division than what the Jets have coming, which I think is a lot more wholesale right now where they stand this offseason.
Cosign retweet.
Hashtag cosign retweet there. So we're going to keep spinning the wheel on that one because everyone, I think we're going to start to see showing their cards a little bit more at the table. And when we hear reports like this of real tangible offers that might be coming, again, this isn't something they're throwing out there. This is a suggestion of what they should be putting out in this, what they should be potentially willing to offer in this situation. Spoiler alert, it's going to be a lot. Now, college basketball season's heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees. You're trying to get into the company of people like our very own Chinee Igwumike, former Wooden Award winner.
Correct.
Sick. That's it. You know what? Among the many accolades that we have around here for Chinee Igwumike, this has been my favorite one to stumble on here. So if you're trying to join the ranks of Chinee Igwumike, you can watch out for people like Illinois' Kofi Cockburn or UConn's Kristen Williams as the season rolls along. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. So make sure you check that out. True ballers trying to go out here and make it happen. But coming up next, let's look at a tale of two very different off-seasons. What it's like when everyone shows you love, and what it's like when the one you're with sends you a very clear message that that may not be the case. We'll get to that next. Chinee Igwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Igwumike Jr., the podcast.
J.J. Watt, he's being released by the Houston Texans.
He's going to have multiple suitors. I'm going to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans, Buffalo Bills. Last one, let's go Baltimore Ravens.
All right, so the sports line, I feel like, of 2020 was, and I took that personally. Chinee Igwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinee Igwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, today is a very, very big birthday in the world of sports and in the world, period. It's Michael Jordan's birthday. I think it's 58, right? I can't remember. I think I just heard Sage Steele say it before I went on SportsCenter today. And in about 10 minutes, we will give you our top four Michael Jordan rivals, which will be very interesting because we're going to be pretty creative here. And we're going to do all of that in celebration of the GOAT's birthday, if I can still say that, which we have made an addendum based on what's happening with the Australian Open. Right, Junior?
Yes, great point there. It's back on the market for everyone that entered into the contract with us and thinks that we're going back on that right now. There was a very clear clause in there for when Serena Williams started advancing this far in the Australian Open, and now she's going up against Naomi Osaka. So we're allowed to wade back into these waters for this week, and it just so happens to coincide with Michael Jordan's birthday. We couldn't have helped or predicted that.
It's kind of crazy because we're at this intersection. I was just thinking about our generation. Like, we might be too young to talk about, like, the greats and being able to see them in their primes, but, like, our producer Shannon, not to, like, age you, Shannon, but, like, our producer Shannon has been
able
to see.
Damn! Did he just catch a stray like that?
But, like, I just wanted to say this earlier. Like, he's, like, that sweet spot about, like, 5 to 6 years, maybe 10 years. I don't know how many. You know, black don't crack. Like, you know, I don't know how much older he is than us, but I feel like he's been able to see Jordan in his prime. He's seeing Tom Brady. He's witnessed the career of Serena Williams. So we're dealing with a lot of goats, and I'm sure I'm going to hear about that in our post show. But I wanted to say,
because Shannon's out here watching Wilt play, checking out all these guys, man.
Wilt.
He was there when Wilt put up 100. That's what I
heard. No, not at all. That's not what I said. That's what he said. That's what Michael Jr. said. But today we're talking.
He was there when they invented the mic and drill.
Oh, stop. And by the way, that's the most annoying drill when it comes to post. But we're talking about people that are great at what they do. One of the greatest in the NFL.
Pennsylvania was lit that day, too, when Will put up those numbers against the Knicks.
It's crazy.
They didn't have AC.
Oh, wow. That's a great point. See? Historical context from a witness.
He was a witness to that, clearly. I mean, that's how we all think, people that are older than us.
That's the crazy. I was going to say, that must have been the craziest day out there since those Eagles fans were eating poop.
Oh God. Let's leave the number twos. Oh my gosh. But actually, this is perfect because there are two different ways to look at the situation going on right now with the NFL. On one hand, you just heard in the latest SportsCenter update that Ben Roethlisberger is not getting as much love anymore in Pittsburgh as general manager Kevin Colbert said in his Wednesday news conference. And I'll quote this: as we sit here today, Ben is a member. Again, I say this. Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He reiterated that he wants to continue to play, and we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at his current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustments will have to be made. So on one side, when we're talking about Super Bowl champs and greats and elders, kind of, at least older than us, we have that, and you have to juxtapose that against what we also heard today from our friend Mary Kay Cabot, who is an insider and writer for Cleveland.com, who wrote this piece titled that J.J. Watt is seriously considering the Browns as one of his options because they have what he wants. And, you know, we asked her the question, does Cleveland have what J.J. Watt needs? And this was her answer.
He wants to win. I mean, he's coming off of a 4-12 season. The Browns made it into the final eight. They plan on really beefing up their defense this year. And the future looks pretty bright for them. He wants to get paid. Who doesn't want to get paid? The Browns have some cap space. He wants to go somewhere where they have a good quarterback. In a perfect world, he would probably want to play with Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. But Baker Mayfield is turning into an amazing quarterback in his own right. And if you add up all of the other things, it's one thing that goes on the plus side of the ledger. And then supporting cast, he would have an opportunity to play either next to or opposite Myles Garrett. And just team culture. I mean, believe it or not, it's like the Texans are the new Browns. I mean, the Browns used to be dysfunctional. It just used to be sort of toxic. And it's just not that way anymore.
Whew. So, Junior, when you hear those two different ways that we're talking about people that are respected in the NFL, you've got Ben Roethlisberger and J.J. Watt. What does this tell you?
It tells you that J.J. Watt's or talk of J.J. Watt's demise were clearly premature, and that maybe we weren't talking enough about Ben Roethlisberger and the decline on his side. Because, I mean, for the Steelers, the franchise that loves him, to have already heard conversation this offseason where Ben Roethlisberger has pretty publicly seemed willing to take a pay cut and to talk about those things out loud in a way most NFL players do not, in a sport that does not guarantee you dollars the way we see guaranteed to other sports, it's amazing that you would hear that callous of a response in this, you know, in this position. Because on the other side, with J.J. Watt hearing all that, we've seen a guy who, and this stat blows your mind when you see the rate he was double-teamed at last year. I believe it was up near the highest in the league. I mean, yep. If you're talking about him getting double-teamed more than Aaron Donald and stats that don't seem like they should make sense, it's a reminder that, man, if you free him from being on a bad defense and put him in a place like Cleveland where Myles Garrett's going to get all of that attention paid to his way, then you've got a pretty big chance to reverse that trend and not put the pressure on him to be that guy when it doesn't matter, because you're not really going to need J.J. Watt to ball out that hard in the regular season. It's going to be kind of like maybe what we saw from Gronk this year, where you go out, you get production, and then you're there to take down the AFC quarterbacks when you get to the playoffs. You know you got to go through Patrick Mahomes. You saw the only thing that we can say gave him trouble consistently, whether it was the Chargers, Raiders, or in the Super Bowl, was that pass rush. And so you got to get closer to home if you feel like you're going to take that next step, and maybe J.J. can help you do that.
I've come to terms with it, Junior. I want everyone to be great. I've also, you were on Highly Questionable with Mina Kimes, and she claims to now be the number one Brooklyn Nets fan, so I feel like it's appropriate for me to start looking elsewhere, not just when it comes to my Rockets, but also when it comes to, obviously, the Texans. And so go be great, J.J., wherever you see fit, whether it's with your brother or maybe with the Cleveland Browns. And shout out to Cleveland, because you still find ways to win even when you just lost in the playoffs, even though that was a big win overall.
Well, I was going to say, a come up for Cleveland is the fact that people are looking at your franchise and saying, you have a great culture. You are on your way to potentially being a Super Bowl caliber team. You're a place that people want to be. And as we're going to get way too far down the road of Cleveland wanting to obviously take that next step, stop and breathe in that moment for just a second. People want to be there. Man, just chill.
We need that
on
our board.
Minute here. Coming up next, though, we are not going to chill at all. We're going to dive full on, head first, back into the goat waters and try and figure out on Michael Jordan's 58th birthday who his biggest rival were. And spoiler alert, you're going to see a very familiar name make multiple appearances. That's next. Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio after this word from Indeed.
And you know, when it comes to goats, we drop the hotline. 888-729-3776.
Oh, no.
Michael Jordan. Who is Michael Jordan's biggest rival? Call us. I can't wait.
Dear God.
Now, if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Trying to be where the money resides, you need Indeed. Why? Well, because Indeed is the job site you can trust to provide quality candidates. Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. With Indeed Instant Match, businesses also get quality candidates fast, like super fast, like Usain Bolt fast, like Chiney in a race versus Michael Look Jr. fast. Now, right when you upgrade a job post, Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver great candidates who fit your job description immediately. Claim your $75 credit towards your first upgraded post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply, and that's how Mary had a little lamb. Now, Michael Jordan's biggest rivals. We rank them, and you can tell us what you think. 888-729-3776. Right after this on Chenan and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. Streaming live, come look at us on ESPN Plus, y'all.
Chenan and Gold Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come watch us, subscribe, watch us on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down here on this good hump day Wednesday. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, we will get to the goats in tennis in about 10 minutes as we keep that same energy, but let's stay with the goats on the court. All right, because today is Michael Jordan's birthday. Happy 58th. Look, Junior, my goal is to be at his 60th birthday because we know that 60th birthdays gotta be crazy and that's gotta be fun. So as a show, our goal should be trying to get ourselves there, hopefully when everything's safe in about 2 years. But in that spirit, we will be giving you guys on Michael Jordan's birthday top four Michael Jordan's rivals. Are you ready for this?
I am ready for this. And when you say us getting invited to Michael Jordan's 60th birthday party, you mean you are going to get us invited to Michael Jordan's 60th birthday party, and we are going to come as your plus five?
Eight?
Plus
five?
Eight?
Yeah, like plus five.
Plus five. We're going to go plus five on that one. So
I'm actually going to be six because I got to invite Shannon's wife. She seems like a really amazing woman, so we're going to do plus six.
I'm not going to lie. I thought that was you about to introduce a new man in our lives, and I was not ready for that one. So
and eight. Yours too. Let's manifest all these great things, okay?
Positive thoughts out there. But in the meantime, we got to get looking back to get going forward towards that birthday party. So Michael Jordan's top four rivals as done in our 444 list.
A-list with no limits.
In the kitchen, oh, cooking, good Lord.
As long as it stops at four.
The heat is on the stove.
444.
For real, though.
With Chinay and Golic Jr.
Our favorite drop, right?
Still no idea what context that was set in. The heat is on the stove. I just don't know why.
Let's go. Here we go. Number four, Michael Jordan's rival.
Number four.
I'm going to start with number four, Michael Jordan's rivals. It's going to be his high school coach, and first and foremost, may he rest in peace, Clifton Pop Herring, because he infamously cut Michael Jordan during his sophomore year in high school while, you know, Coach Herring did say that, like, hey, he wasn't technically cut. We just put him on the junior varsity team before he made it to varsity later on. Whatever the situation is, that motivated a man to have a career like no other. So we got to appreciate that form of motivation. Now, number three.
Number three.
Jordan's greatest rivals. I'm going to put the bad boys, because bad boys for life, Detroit Pistons, all right? Because they eliminated Michael Jordan's Bulls both in 1989, excuse me, and 1990 in those Eastern Conference Finals, which literally forced Michael Jordan to get in the weight room, and I feel like the rest was history. And now our number, that is our favorite.
Number two.
LeBron James. LeBron James, number two biggest Michael Jordan rival, because whether it comes down to the GOAT debate, the greatest of all time debate, or, you know, when we talk about like the four championships versus six and all that type of stuff, or even rivalry that stems to Hollywood. I mean, we've got a new Space Jam coming out, I believe this year, HBO Max or something like that. So that GOAT debate largely has motivated Jordan even, you know, after he's done on the court. And the number one Michael Jordan rival.
Number one.
And I took that personally. Michael Jordan himself, literally watching The Last Dance as a company here at ESPN. Shout out to The Last Dance. You realize that Michael Jordan would almost like fabricate his own stories so that he'd be motivated. That's kind of crazy. But guess what? That crazy unleashed a new version of greatness. So the number one rivals from 4-1 for me has to be his high school coach, the Detroit Bad Boy Pistons, LeBron James, and then Michael Jordan himself, Junior.
All right, you know what? Fairly well-constructed list. I appreciate the thought that went into that here. Have some minor tweaks we'd like to get to. So let's start off number four.
Number four.
Strictly off the strength of the Last Dance meme content alone. Larry Legend, Larry Bird in there. Bleep you bleep that we saw that exchange from back behind in the tunnel there. Faced off against each other 28 times in the regular season, only 6 times in the post, and the Celtics got the better of the Bulls in those spots. But just that interaction alone, the strength of that, going to be what propels Larry into this list. Number three.
Number three.
Hate so hard that it continues to this day. Isaiah Thomas stands alone. You can link him to the Pistons, but that man and his singular hatred for Michael Jordan is so amazing to watch play out. We got the refresher course this summer. It has been remarkable. Gotta be
so,
there.
So you're going to say this when he was on our network before, after he leaves. You're like, oh, cool, let's go for Isaiah Thomas. All right. Oh, let's just talk to the other Isaiah Thomas because I won't say the smoke to his face. Go to number two.
I mean, he knows that Michael Jordan doesn't like him. That seemed very apparent through all of this, so I don't feel like I'm breaking any news, but yes, I waited to make sure that he was long gone before I said this anywhere.
Number two.
Number two, I'm with you, Chiney. I throw LeBron James in this spot. We know this is like the premier debate of our time. It's the easiest thing to open up the phone lines and throw to here. LeBron James going out and now winning an NBA championship with a third team this last season. What he's been able to accomplish potentially on his way to another MVP season this year. No doubt he's got to be number two on this list, which leaves us
number one.
It's even more LeBron James. It's all the off-the-court LeBron James stuff because you mentioned Space Jam, but, Janae, it's not just that. I mean, the reason we feel like The Last Dance was something that we wanted to have end up coming out this summer was because a lot of people, I think, understood Michael Jordan was getting a little sick and tired hearing all this stuff talked about LeBron James. He's also watched LeBron James off the court as someone who's been very philanthropic, who's given to so many different causes. And so what have we seen in the last few years? Michael Jordan being more generous and more outspoken towards putting money and resources and time behind causes than we ever saw from Michael Jordan as a player in this spot. So I feel like just as motivating has been the off-court legend of LeBron James growing in a way that's forced Michael Jordan to respond even as he gets up in his late 50s.
I like that. LeBron James two times over. That's how many championships he needs to tie Michael Jordan. But I hear you. Did the hotlines deliver anything?
They have. Let's go to Lucas in Hawaii. Lucas, you're on Janae Angola Jr. Who is Michael Jordan's biggest rival?
Hey, Lucas.
Love the show, y'all. Keep up the great job. Listen, the only rival Michael Jordan has, nobody on the court. I don't want to hear Bad Boys. I don't want to hear Isaiah. It's the curveball. It's the only thing he couldn't do.
There we go. Michael Jordan baseball jokes. I was wondering when they would make an appearance in here. And they are right on time, as always, with this one. The GOAT debate that keeps on giving, Janae. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that was actually a good one. Do we have time for one more? I want to give people love.
We have time for one more in here, Cliff. Where should we go on this one?
Let's go to Mark in Cali. Let's see what he got to say.
All right, let's go to Mark in California. Mark, you're on Janae Angola Jr., Jordan's biggest rival. What do you got for us?
Hey, man, you guys both touched on it. Appreciate you having me on. You guys both touched on it. I'm going off the hardwood. I went backdoor slider, and I went gambling. I mean, and in the same context, he was his own biggest rival. We could have gone to Bad Boys, and on a more personal level, we could have gone IT, right? But here's the thing. The biggest rival Michael ever had on or off the court was himself.
Yeah, no, and that certainly we appreciate the call. Janae, we know Michael Jordan, notorious gambler. Some people want to make farther reaching claims with that, but we've seen him show up on the golf course and certainly at a blackjack table, which, I mean, who among us has not enjoyed that thrill?
I mean, you, as someone that loves chaos, we also do love conspiracies. I've started watching that show on Netflix, too, so yeah.
There were no shortage of those. We had the whole Pizzagate thing go on during The Last Dance this summer, so exciting times. Plenty of, I can say, bad pizza. Biggest rival right there. Ate it all himself there. I mean, got to talk of him spitting on the pizza and all that weird. It was a weird summer for pizza discourse.
Also, like, why would you eat pizza when two people are delivering it? Like, I would be like, wait, why do you have two people here? Like, this is strange.
Wow. You know what? It's all interesting things to consider as we walk down some of these conspiracy theory paths. Coming up next, as we've talked about GOAT debates in here, the most famous shot in golf returned after a quarter century. We'll get to that next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
I give love to the crew that showed love to us on Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to give love to everyone back home in Houston as we keep that same energy because I know they're dealing with tough circumstances. My family is safe, but still dealing with the situation without water, without power, and we're one of the lucky ones, fortunate to still find ways to make it through. So before I give love to the crew, I want to give love to everyone in Houston and Texas overall that are dealing with a situation with the weather that is really scary, but hopefully everyone's leaning on each other and trying to find ways to band together.
Yeah, everyone down there, stay safe, check on your people, and if you can and you are outside of Texas right now and you've got the ability to give back and help out people down there financially who are going through this, because we talked about this earlier in the week. It was something that started off as, oh, look at people in the South dealing with weather, and very quickly got to something much more serious than that. And so as people's lives are quite literally in danger right now, if you can help, please do. And if not, keep thinking about these people who are dealing with what looks like absolute hell right now.
Thank you for that, Junior, and thank you to everyone that is stepping up in that situation in Houston, and thank you, of course, to everyone that joined us today on the show, Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and also The Plain Dealer, Kimberly A. Martin, Lil' Kim, K-Mart, ESPN NFL reporter, and also one of the co-hosts of First Take Her Take alongside Charlie Arnold and I. They both joined us, Mary Kay and also Kimberly A. Ooh, yes, you see what I did there? Talked about J.J. Watt and, you know, potentially heading to the Browns, and also we talked a lot about the NBA. Not just GOATs like Michael Jordan and LeBron James and the situation going on there. We also spoke to Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, the Isaiah Thomas, that's the NBA free agent, two-time NBA All-Star, who joined us and broke down everything happening in the NBA and a little bit of college too, but more so the top performers and his experience finally healthy, playing and representing the USA in the AmeriCup. So that was a fun interview we had. And if you missed any of our conversations, any of our thoughts, any of us spilling tea, you can always check out our podcast, Shanae and Golic Jr., and go subscribe, go rate, go review, and da-na-na-na-na. Cliff, what's the word? Now, go.
King.
Huh?
King.
King, good. King for LeBron James. All right, if you're listening to us, tweet us at Shanae and Mike Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr. Oh, we don't have that woad soundbite where I was talking too fast. Tweet us.
Oh, no,
subscribe.
We do.
Broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian Wojnarowski. Whoa.
We do.
Y'all are so messy. Y'all are so mean. Where is it? I need a junior one. Like, we got to make a junior button.
Oh, don't worry. We got one of those, too. Coming up next, though, we'll look ahead to find out what's going to happen with Thursday night football in light of some recent COVID. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter. Equal opportunity around here. Nobody is safe. When you mess up, we are always waiting. We are always lurking. We will always replay it for entertainment.
And guess what? The best one was from Cliff. I love you. We still love you, Cliff. And that's the energy we will keep as we keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy. While we're shouting out people, how about we give some love to our very own Monica McNutt, who, in her first appearance on Around the Horn today, went 1-for-1, the victor today. Get some face time.
Let's go, Monica. This is my sister from another mister. So glad that she's been shining. And I also want to give love to Justin Tinsley, who also, I believe, just made his debut, I think, this past week. So, yeah, the generation, our generation, millennials, this is the takeover. Get ready.
Finding our way on to traditional shows that celebrate sports journalists like Around the Horn and kicking the door in, letting everyone know what time it is there. Big ups to everyone. Very excited for those two. Awesome crew getting some wins right there. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, keeping that same energy. Starting at 10 o'clock Eastern tonight on ESPN2, coverage of the Australian Open semifinal, Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka. Now, Naomi, the favorite in this one, but Janae, everyone knows we're looking to see if Serena can tie Margaret Court on, as you've pointed out, in Australia, Margaret's Court.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be appointment viewing, and I can't wait to watch this one. The culture wins, even though I am sort of going for Serena. Come on, Serena, tie her. Let's go.
Yeah.
But love you, Naomi, too.
It is. It's two people that everyone generally tends to root for. But like you said, it's hard for a lot of us who have watched Serena dominate our lifetime to see her. It's been looking like she's been getting towards the end of things, running out of gas in some tournaments. We know we're only going to get so many cracks at this left, and I think a lot of people would like to see history because we all love that in our sports lifetimes.
Yes.
Here, speaking of history, Janae, did you see Adam Sandler busting out, star of so many of the movies that I watched in my childhood here, Billy Madison, Big Daddy, Little Nicky, Happy Gilmore, going back out to the golf course and showing he still had it. I didn't know he could actually do the Happy Gilmore swing, the run up to the ball and hit it, but he went out there and teed off on that thing in a way that brought me right back to like 1995.
So is it bad that I say I've never watched Happy Gilmore? I feel like this is something that might be a little bit cultural.
Yeah, no, we figured that out and had that discussion today on Around the Horn. Bomani Jones claimed that this is a very Two Americas thing, but Cliff, you disagree.
That's super cap. That is not cultural. Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Water, like all that is always on USA. That is super cap by you and Bomani.
Let the tiebreaker be Billy. Billy, have you watched Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, I'm a big Adam Sandler fan, man.
Dang,
I've seen all that.
Oh,
sorry.
Man, okay.
Sorry, sis.
You know what? While we're looking at the divide on things right now, because I'm glad to see that this is getting support, I think that these movies were a big part of everyone's lifestyle. Where are we at on Peeps? Our good friend Charlotte Wilder, who works over at Fox, brought up the likability of Peeps. I'm a big pro Peeps guy. Where are you guys at?
No, hard pass.
Pro Peeps, come on now.
Also, fun fact, when I talk to a lot of professional athletes, they say Adam Sandler is the one that gets buckets, like the celebrity that you never knew that actually gets buckets and hoops.
Low-key buckets from Adam Sandler. Low-key great taste. Try your Peeps. Very, very stale. I promise it'll be a game changer for you there.
Oh, my God.
Stale, I don't know about all that, but...
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.